You all right? I'm not. I just sat in a jolly puddle over there and I got wet pants, so I am not a happy man. So if I start like moving around a little bit twitchy, it's because I got wet underpants. It's the worst thing to start the night off with. If it looks like I've had a little accident, I haven't, all right? But for it to get through jeans and pants, you know I sat in it for a bit too long. So here we go. So just a couple of things I want to get off my head before I sort of start talking about the Bible. Three things. Number one, check out the Ignite stand later, guys. It's free to sign up for Ignite this week. Ignite are the ones who put this on with a lot of help from a lot of other people. But like, we want to make it free for you to sign the Ignite declaration tonight and to check out our stuff. So check that out. Thing number two, massive double-decker bus over there. I love that bus because I helped to get it off the road. Has anybody been on the bus over there? Yeah. Hey. Well, listen. That bus has been brought by a bunch from St. Melon's called EZ36. If what you've been doing this week has really been sort of stirring you about, like, you know, taking on tough communities and doing stuff to bless people in the name of Jesus, EZ36 and St. Melon's is something which you really need to think about. You know, we're all about trying to move people onto the estate to get them stuck in all sorts of different ways, taking the bus out to sort of like get a shed load of kids with hooded tops and ganja to learn all about Jesus. We love it. So go and ask Pete and Deb, they're legends. Go on a bus and say, oh, I want to talk to Pete and Deb. And like they will tell you about how you can get involved. But guys, seriously, that's something, that, you know, Andy talked about Eden last night. That's great. That's in Manchester. This is Cardiff. This is South Wales. So get stuck into that. Third thing, and then I'm going to start preaching, is my mate's got some T-shirts and hooded tops over there. One says redeemed. One says justified. If you're a Christian, that means you. They're big words. They're complicated words. They make people go, what a dickens is that all about? And you can tell them. All right. So basically, check them out. They're over there. I got two because I love it. All right. Are you up to hear from God tonight, guys? Me too. All right. I've been reading my Bible this week because I find it helpful. And I was just like, Lord, listen, I got to go and preach in a tent. And he knew it wasn't a two-seater, so it was all right. And I was just like, what do you want me to say to this bunch of bods? Guys, it's the last night. It's the last night. It means two things. Number one, it means that you guys might fall asleep. If you do, I'm going to come out there and I'm going to sort of like just bang your head against your chair till you wake up again. And not really. That's fine. Actually, I could get arrested for saying things like that, couldn't I? I don't mean that. And and the other thing, it means that I'm overtired and over-caffeinated and I'm capable of anything. So just like bear with me, please. Because, you know, as I said earlier, like, coffee's great. But honest, and it's, you know, it's good stuff, right? And this is a little scripture that God gave me. I'm going to read the scriptures, a couple of verses, but I'm going to set the context, all right? This is why I think this is good for tonight. Because, you know, these conferences and chilling out in tents is nothing new. There's this thing back in Jewish history thousands of years ago called the Feast of Tabernacles, right? And every year they got together, the whole nation of Israel would go and camp outside Jerusalem in little tents, and they didn't even have those porta toilets. So, I mean, we're talking a seriously sort of like, you know, major logistical nightmare with no toilets. So, like, but that's by the by. By the way, I had to sit down on one of them toilets earlier, and it increases your faith, I'm telling you. That's all I'm saying. And I haven't prayed so hard for a long time. And so, like, there's this thing. Every year, for a whole week, all the people got together, hung out in their tents, and went to the temple and thanked God for his faithfulness and his goodness. But this year, the year that I'm talking about right now, it was different. Rather than celebrating God, they started, like, all these rumors started going around about Jesus. And some people were loving Jesus. Some people wanted to kill Jesus. Some people were confused about Jesus. And tonight, in this tent, I know for a fact, some of you love Jesus. Are you here? Some of you actually don't like the idea of Jesus. You don't even know what you're doing sat in here right now. And some of you are really interested or really curious. Now, Jesus does this incredible thing. On the last day of the Feast of Tents. You got to love this. So this is the last day of our Feast of Tents. Have you enjoyed your feast in your tent? Has it been wonderful? Well, this is 2,000 years ago, the last day on the Feast of Tents, and this is what happens. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Guys, Jesus did something that you have done this weekend. He stood up. He looked at the state of his world. He looked at a bunch of people who should have known better because they were in a temple. They should have been all about God. They should have been all about love. They should have been all about hope. And rather, they were totally preoccupied with something else. He looked at a nation that was actually dying and decaying. And he stood up and he said, no. Look what it says. It says he cried out. And I don't know about you, right? I get proper passionate about stuff. And I'm sorry, I am buzzing on caffeine and also just buzzing about this message. Because let me tell you, I'm looking at Wales right now. And I'm not a faker. And I'm not pretending that things are better than they are. And I'm looking at what's going down in our streets and our schools right now. And I think it's time that we stand up and cry out and say, no more! No more! I don't want to hear of no more suicide. I don't want to hear of no more crime. I don't want to hear of no more abuse because it breaks my heart, guys. And if it breaks your heart, I guarantee you it breaks my God's heart. And God hates this stuff. And we just act like it doesn't matter. We act like it's not going on. And someone has got to stand up and say, no! I get excited about this stuff. I'm not going to scream at you all night, but I believe that when Jesus stood up in front of that nation and cried out, it was a cry of compassion. It was not a cry of anger. When God looks at Cardiff and the Vale of Glamorgan and the valleys, he's not like some harsh God that's like, I've had enough. He's like a God whose heart is breaking. He sees what's going on. He sees what's going on a big level. He sees what's going on in your heart and in your life. And you want to know, does God really exist? Does God really care? I want to tell you, God sent us a telegram 2,000 years ago, his own son Jesus. And he stood up and he said, I'm proof that God cares. And when Jesus stood up and cried out, check out what he says. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Guys, I love water. I'm going to have some right now, in fact. Do you like water? Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Water's great, apart from in your pants. Water is fantastic stuff. But here's the thing. Jesus gives an open invitation. Listen to what he says. If anyone... Are you a someone? Are you a person? Then you're in. All right? Now, some of you might think, I'm not a someone, I'm actually a no one. Whether you think you're someone or a no one, I'm not going to get into that, but you're an anyone, whatever you think. All right? That's how it is. And he says, if anyone thirsts. Guys, we are living in days when people are thirsty. I'm not talking physically thirsty. I'm talking spiritually thirsty. Has anyone ever been thirsty here before? Oh, we used to play this game back when I was a kid. Have you ever played the cream crackers game? We've got to shove as many crackers in your mouth without a drink. And like you're like, oh, I'll have the old packet, bruv. I'm bad me. And you get after two and you're like, and like, you know, go on, have a third then, bruv. You're cocky. And like, water's got this amazing thing. Just 75% of your body is made of water. Water is crucial to life. But the longer you go on with water, the iller and the sicker you get. People can live for days without food. 40, 50 days without food, you can't go 3 days without water. That's good stuff. You enjoy your water. But guys, here's the thing. And hot water on coffee is great, but that's a whole other story. Guys, Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, and he means spiritually, because when you're thirsty, you're clamming, you're gagging, you got to have some water. You just got to get some of that stuff because it's what's going to quench your thirst. I'm looking at my streets, guys. I'm looking at my communities. I'm looking at my nation, and I see people who are thirsty. And what are they thirsting for? They're thirsting for love. They're thirsting for purpose. They're thirsting for life. They're crying out for something to satisfy them. I don't know if you've seen that. I don't even know if you are that person. But like, you know, I do a lot of work in Cardiff Prison and Park Prison. And I see men who are hard as nails. And they've done some terrible things. But underneath it all, they're men who've done that stuff because they're thirsty. They want something. And my friends, I want to ask you this question right at the start. Are you satisfied? No, don't answer that out loud and don't answer me in your heart with what you think the person next to you thinks. I'm saying, when you get home tonight, are you satisfied? Is your life all it can be? Are you living? Because let me tell you, I'm sick of seeing young people having to act like they're living. I'm sick of seeing people having to put up fronts. It's all about whether you're an emu or a chav or whatever it is. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all about your clothes.
I know it's an emo. I know it's an emo. I know. But I think blue birds are just so much cooler than black. That's just a whole other thing. But like, you know, but people are like having to put up all these fronts and do all these things, you know, to say, you know, and like, when I was a teenager, I used to go out, I used to get drunk, I used to get chased by the police, I used to like, you know, try and pull all the girls and end up scaring them. That was me. That was me. And I'd go home and I'd put my head on the pillow and I would hate myself. Because when there's no one else to laugh, when there's no one else to show off to, when there's no one looking, it was just me alone with my thoughts. I was thirsty. I was thirsty for life. I was thirsty for love. I was thirsty for something that I did not have. And you want to know why are we thirsty? Why are we like that? Why is the world like this? I want to give you this little scripture from the book of Jeremiah. I like Jeremiah. He wasn't the happiest chap in the world, but that's because his world was even more mashed up than ours. But like, I want to tell you what Jeremiah's got to say about being thirsty. Do you want to know what's wrong with this world? Yeah. Do you want to know what's wrong with people? Do you want to know what's wrong with you and me? Yeah. Check this out. Jeremiah says this, chapter 2, verse 12. It says this, verse 13. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves. That means they carved out wells, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Do you want to know what's wrong with this world? It stuck two fingers up to God and said, I don't care whether you love me or not. It said, I don't care that you sent your son to die for me. I don't care what you want from me because I want to do life my way. Frank Sinatra sang a song about it. I did it my way. Or something like that. But he's a little bit better than me. He got a record deal. I never will. But guys, we are all born with a fist in God's face. Do you realize that? I got a 2-year-old daughter. Well, she's not even 2 yet. And I know this. She doesn't need to be able to talk to know how to do wrong. It's just inbuilt. We all know how to do the wrong thing rather than the right thing. We all know how not to do the thing we should and do the thing we shouldn't instead. It's ingrained. It's entrenched. No one needs to teach you how to do that stuff. And we have forsaken God. That means we've turned our back on God and said, no thanks, I'm happy with myself, I'm happy with my life. That's the one thing that's gone wrong. But the other thing that's gone wrong in our world is we've tried digging out satisfaction for ourselves. We've dug wells and said, stuff the fountain of living waters, stuff God, stuff the one who can truly satisfy. Forget all the stuff which he bangs on about. You know, I don't care about that. I'm going to find satisfaction myself. And we dig wells. We want relationship satisfaction. We just start sleeping around. We'll have sex with as many people as we want. We want to buzz. We want to get high. We'll smoke ganja. Oh my days, the ganja's not like, you know, hitting me that hard anymore. I better start popping pills. I better try something more. And we dig and we dig and we dig. And people say, well, I don't need drugs or sex or that. I'm too good for that. I'm going to go and get myself a job and make myself into someone. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to get an education. I'm going to get a job. Nothing wrong with that. But we dig and we dig and we dig. And what happens is we find out that it doesn't hold any water. People with jobs, like, you know, whatever job it is, are still not satisfied. The Rolling Stones are not sitting in this one. I can't get no satisfaction. And like, they had all the money, all the girls, all the drugs, or whatever you want, and they still weren't satisfied. And guys, I don't know what you're hoping to fill your life with. I don't know what you're hoping to satisfy you. But there's only one who can satisfy you, and that is the God who loves you. And you know what? And there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that I love about my God. But one of the things I love is that he does not stop loving you. He sees you living without a care for him. And the Bible says he loves you with an everlasting love. The book of Lamentations says his mercies are new every morning. So you spend the day saying, I don't care, God. Shut up, God. I don't want to know, God. Go away, God. Leave me alone, God. You go to bed. You wake up the next day. Hi, I still love you. All right, I'll chase you again. Oh, I don't care, God. I don't want to know, God. I'm going to bed. Wake up the next day, my mercy is new again because I am not going to stop pursuing you. I've got water for you. I've got what you need to be satisfied in this life. And that's truth, guys. Has anybody here been satisfied by the living water of Jesus? Have you been satisfied by that? My little girl, she's fast, man. Like, she's quick. I got this little gangster limp because I got like a skateboarding injury and I've had operations on my left leg and I walk like a chicken. It's not my fault. So I can't catch her. But the problem is she doesn't like drinking milk or water, but she needs water. So it's got to the stage now where me and my wife, my wife's 8 months pregnant, bless her, and she's still faster than me because I'm chicken, man. But like, here's the thing. We spend half of our time when we should be chilling out chasing after my daughter with some water. Do you know what I mean? Like, have a drink, man. She's like, You know, like on The Incredibles, Dash? That's my daughter, the male version. Serious, she's blonde too, like him. But like, guys, do you know what? God has got living water for you. He's got life for you. He's got abundant life. He's got satisfaction for you. He's got what you need. But you run and you run, but you can't hide. And Jesus stands up in this feast of tents. He stands up and he says, enough. If there's anyone here who is thirsting for something more, who just wants to know true, deep down satisfaction, who's known what it is to reject God, that's called sin, by the way, not a very popular word, to turn your back on God, and has found out that actually the wells that we dig don't satisfy us at all. If anyone is thirsty, do you know what he says? Well, you better try harder. You're a bunch of wasters. Do you know what? He doesn't say that because God's not like that. God's so lush. I love God. And Jesus says, you thirsty? Are you sick and tired of running? Are you sick and tired of pretending? Are you sick and tired of the same old, and realizing as you get older, you just get colder and it gets harder? He says, if that's you, come to me. Guys, God wants you. He loves you. He doesn't want to turn you into some Bible-bashing Jesus freak. He doesn't want you to start wearing sandals and start doing this all the time. He wants to give you life in abundance. He wants to take your sin away. He wants to take your pain away. He wants to make you the person you were born to be. And Jesus stood up and he said in front of a nation full of people, stop, enough. You want life. You want your thirst to be quenched. You come to me. And guys, the offer is still open today. Jesus says, come to me. He loves you. He wants you. He's pursuing you. He doesn't just say, come to me. He says, come to me and drink. I'm not doing this for like, you know, kind of preaching about water. I just get a really bad throat. I had my tonsils out last year, and I just sound like this because I got bad tonsil things. No, I haven't got tonsils, but I would have if I had them. Yeah, right. In fact, I'll never have bad tonsils again. Amen. Sorry, that was the caffeine talking. All right, here we go. Right, he says, come here and drink. Come here and not just have a little sort of sprinkly. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come here and grab a flagon of forgiveness. Come here and grab a flagon of mercy. Come here and grab a flagon of healing and wholeness and life and love and just everything that you were born for. And swig it back. Swig it, swig it, swig it like you've been living in a desert for 40 years. And enjoy it. And know that the flagon never runs out. Guys, with Jesus, the water never runs dry. You can take drugs, the buzz is gone in the morning. You can have sex, but it doesn't last forever. You can have a job, but you're either going to die or get, you know, or lose your job. But like, money runs out, you spend it. You never run out of Jesus. You never run out of his spirit. You never run out of his life. You never run out of all the stuff that he's got for you. And I get excited about this because this works. And I'm sick of all the fakers out there who pretend they got something when they haven't. Now you might think I'm a faker. I'm sorry, but like, I'm not. Because he's done this for me. You know, he says, if you drink, if you believe, and you, if you drink what I got for you, drink down with my Holy Spirit, all the stuff I got for you. If you believe in me, as the scripture has said, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. You know, there's a lot of rivers in this nation of Wales because there's a lot of valleys. I don't know if you know how it works. You got a valley, there's a river down the middle. That's how it works. Geography, never done it very much, but I know that's true. My valley's got a river. Buzzing, it's called the Avon Lloyd. My daughter can say that, she's not even two. Yes, totally irrelevant because no one else in my town can say it, but she can, and that's good. All right, but you know what? rivers get polluted really easy. Hands up if anybody's cleaned out a really filthy stream or river this week.
Woo!
And when they get polluted, they stink. Now, here's the thing. If it gets polluted halfway down the river, you're all right. But if the source is polluted, you're stuffed. And guys, the source of the problem is our heart. You know, God doesn't want you to try and fix your life yourself. He's not saying you need to stop taking drugs. You need to stop doing this. You're naughty, naughty. You must stop doing this. You must stop doing that. And you must try doing this. You must try doing that. And then you'll be a nice little clone. That's not what he's saying. He says, listen, be honest with yourself. You can't help it. It's what's happening inside that's a problem. And if we're honest, it's what's going on in there. The heart, the core of the human being. Do you know how Jesus, like this is an amazing passage in Ezekiel chapter 36. That's where EZ 36 comes from, by the way, just to sort of like reference that. Ezekiel 36, check this out. How do you get a new heart? What do you do to get a new heart? Check this out. This is what God says. You want to sort out the inside of yourself rather than the outside? Because let me just quickly give you this little illustration, right? Someone buys you a Ferrari and you're like, yeah, check me out. I'm only 12, but I look fly. And you phone your mates, and you say, yo, boys, check this out. Look at my Ferrari. It's got a really cool ashtray. And you spend the rest of your life with your Ferrari pressing the ashtray button, thinking that you've got the bottom of what it means to own a Ferrari. Bruv, sort it out. Get old enough, get a driving license, go to Germany, get on the Autobahn, and find out what having a Ferrari is all about. Guys, there is so much more for you than what you got. There's so much more for life. You think you got life, you've just got the ashtray. You think you're living, but you're not living. God's got so much more for you, but the problem is in there. You're cut off from God in your heart. And check out what God says. He says, I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will put within you. And I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. God says, you don't need to change your heart. You need a new heart. Check this out. He says, you've got a heart of stone. And it's like, yes, your heart's like this, but a bit bigger. I'll get this one. Your heart's like a stone. Now, if I got this stone and said, shh, shh, quick, quick, someone phone an ambulance. You'd think I was a mentalist, and you'd be right. Because you know what? Stones are dead. Stones are cold. Stones are hard. And your heart is like a stone if you don't know Jesus. Cold, lonely, hard, and dead in sin. And God says, don't try and paint your stone heart. Don't try and cover your stone heart. You need some surgery, bruv. You need a new heart. I'll give you a new heart. Anybody here got a new heart? I tell you what, guys, this is what God has got for us. He's got a new heart, and this is how you get it. Jesus said, you need to believe in me. Believe what? Believe that he is God. Believe that he's a God of love. Believe he loves you, and he came to pursue you. Believe that all the stuff that has destroyed your life, the things you've done that you're guilty of, the things that have been done to you that you're hurting about, believe that when he came to this earth, he came on a mission to take it and nail it to the cross. Believe that he came not because you weren't, not because we weren't sinners, but because he loved you despite the fact that we've blown it, and he loved you enough that he didn't want to banish you from his presence forever, but he wanted you in his presence forever. Come to him knowing that on the cross everything you've ever done wrong was nailed there. My favorite verse in any hymn ever was this old school bloke from the 18th century. He wrote this: my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And guys, that's what we've got in Jesus. And if you believe, if you would only believe that Jesus loved you enough to die for you, if you only believed that you can have a new heart by trusting him to take away your old broken one and give you one that works, if you believe that he died in your place for your sins and he wants to fill you with his spirit and his life and help you live life as it's meant to be, then you will have water flowing from your heart for the rest of your life that's not like this stuff, but it's a sort of water that you drink in heaven. Let me read you this scripture. Check this out. Revelation. Trippy book, but I love it. Revelation chapter 7. Here we go. I've got to be really quick, guys. I'm running out of time, but this is it, all right? This is simply it. I'm just getting going. You want to talk to me more about this? This is my favorite subject in the whole universe, is the love of Jesus for you. So talk to me after. But check this out. This is what heaven's like. It speaks of people who were guilty and they've had their stains taken away on the cross. And it says, therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Check this out. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. Check this out. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And guys, this is my favorite bit. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I so wish I could talk to you more about this, but I can't, because I can't. But like, guys, listen, this is it. I'm going to challenge you to respond tonight. God has brought you here for a purpose. If you're not a Christian here tonight, I don't want to Bible bash you. I don't want to turn you into some freakish little clone of one of us. I want you to experience life. I want you to know love. I want you to know what it feels like to have your sin taken away. I want you to know what it feels like to be made whole inside. I want you to know what it's like to go home, put your head on the pillow, and be able to live with yourself again. I want you to know what it feels like to have the living water of God's Holy Spirit gushing through your life so that all of a sudden your actions change, and your words change, and your community changes, and people change, because God is changing you from the inside out. And that takes guts to take that step. That takes guts to believe that. So I'm just going to ask you all to stand up with me, all of you together, and I'm going to challenge anyone who's brave enough to say, I'm sick of digging my own wells. I'm sick of living in my own strength and my own power. And I want this living water that you're talking about. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to come to the front in a minute. And I'm going to get everyone to go mental in applause and love, just because that's what we want. If you want that tonight, you want to be a Christian tonight, you want to say, Jesus, I just take my sin away, change me, make me the person you want me to be, and I ask you to come forward now. Would you come forward? If that's you. I'm not going to milk it. I'm not going to, I'm not going to sort of like try and manipulate the situation in any way. I'm just saying, if you want to be a Christian tonight, if you want to get rid of your sin, if you want to know satisfaction, if you're sick of drinking from the wrong wells, then come forward and become a Christian. God bless you. That's right. Yes, that's right. Is there anyone else? Anyone else that wants to stand up and say no more? Anyone else that wants to say, I'm not doing this anymore? Anyone else that wants to say, God, I want you, you be in me? Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. Thank you, Lord. So anyone else, guys? There's plenty of room, and the band will wait if you want to keep coming forward, because this is important stuff. This is what it's about. Guys, this is what it's about. Okay, if you want to keep coming forward, that's fine. But I'm just going to say, guys, here's what we're going to do. Listen, I want to say to you, I've got massive love and massive respect for each one of you at the front. Guys, I honor you. This is the most important day of your life. This is big. This is massive. And this is going to change your life and your eternity, okay? I'm just going to pray a prayer out loud. I want you to just like repeat the prayer after me. Just like, don't just say the words, guys. If this is what God is doing in your heart right now, I want you to know that this is something which is happening between heaven and earth right now, if you pray this in your heart. And when I prayed for you, the band are going to play. I want just to go over there and chat with some of my mates. I'll sort of like have a little pray with you. They're awesome bods over there. So guys, here's what I want you to pray. I want you to pray this with me. God, I thank you that you love me with an everlasting love. God, I thank you that you love me enough to see me as I am. And I thank you that you died for me as I am. I thank you that you've forgiven me because of what Jesus did on the cross. And I thank you that you rose again. And by the power of your Spirit, you can come into my life now. I ask you to change me. I ask you to help me change. And I ask you to kick off a massive party in heaven tonight because you love saving people like me. Thank you. You're just awesome. Amen. Bless you guys. Bless you guys. If you want to go and have a chat with my friends, that's fine. Almost there. Thank you. God bless you. We're almost there, guys. I got one more thing to say, okay? One more thing to say, and then the band are going to play. This promise of streams of living water is for Christians. Some of you Christians, you know that God's filled you with living water, but it's not flowing out of you because there's stuff in your life that's damming it. That's like, you know, a dam that stops like water flooding down a valley. And that stuff can be forgiven at the cross. And if you need to know forgiveness tonight, if you need to know the removing, the breaking of that dam, that God's living water can flow through you, I want you as well, at some point later on in this evening, to go and chat to one of those ministry team over there. Even during the worship, there's forgiveness and grace for you at the cross. Hallelujah. Amen.